evening, guys, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time appearing in the Animation Lookback, well, you came in at a pretty good time because this is a little bit of a summary episode where I'm going to be doing a bit of a best of in a way. So this is probably a good example of what you're going to get in the Animation Podcast and in future episodes, where in here I'm just going to be doing the highlights of this year. I'll explain more a little bit later. But if you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then all you have to do is head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so, what we are going to do right over here, what we're going to do in this very special episode of the Animation Podcast, I'm not going to be looking into the animation news that happened this week. I'm actually going to be going to check out all the news that happened this year. Well, not all of them, but I'm just going to be highlighting the biggest of them that really stood out in terms of animation news. Now, we could probably all agree that in 2017, things have been pretty insane in terms of all the different news, in terms of all the different media, in terms of all the TV shows, the movies, and all that kind of stuff. This really has been an insane year, and you never know what's going to happen for better or for worse. And it's the same thing with animation. There have been so many crazy news that happened that I don't even know where to start with this. Actually, making this list, honestly, it wasn't easy. I can definitely tell you that, because here's the thing. There have been so many news that, like, it really exploded on the internet and received so many different reactions, I don't know where to even begin with it. There are some, like, the biggest disaster in recent years that happened in animation that literally everybody in the world hates, with the Emoji Movie. And then you also got the recent things that the Powerpuff Girls reboot happened with the accusations that one of the writers is a pedophile because there's a character that kind of looks like him and he's also the voice at the same time that has a crush on Blossom. And on top of that, there's also the new fourth Powerpuff Girl with Bliss. And my god, oh, what else is there? Oh yes, and then there's also Teen Titans Go, which they're going to be coming into the big screen in 2018. So there's that big announcement that got a lot of different reactions. And the list goes on. Like, honestly, this is just scratching the surface of the madness that is 2017 in general. However, what I'm going to do with this episode is that I'm only going to be taking five of the biggest news stories that happened this year. Not necessarily the best ones or the ones that really would get us really excited. And not just the ones that are just god-awful and they're shocking to hear about. Like, basically, I'm just taking the ones that really made the biggest impact this year and really left their mark in 2017. Like, these are the ones that will be remembered that this specific thing happened this year. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you the top five best and best and worst animated films of 2017. You could actually go and check that out on my YouTube channel. No, actually, what this is actually the top five biggest animation news of 2017. So, without further ado, let us go ahead and begin with number five on our list. And so, what we got with number five, I want to take a moment to talk to you guys a little bit about Despicable Me 3, which is one of the animated features that have been released in 2017. Now, we can all agree that maybe Despicable Me 3 is not the best animated film of the year. It's not up there in the ranks of movies like the Lego Batman Movie or Coco, or even like with the independent films like The Breadwinner. But One thing that we can all agree, or we have no choice but to agree because it is a fact, Despicable Me 3 is the highest grossing animated feature of the year, making a worldwide grand total of $1.03 billion at the box office. Not only does it make it the highest grossing animated feature of the year, and also the only one to ever surpass $1 billion in 2017 in terms of animated features, but it is also the fourth highest grossing feature film of the year, behind movies such as The Fate of the Furious and the live action remake of Beauty and the Beast. Now, I know that technically, as I'm recording this, it is the third highest grossing feature film of the year, but let's be honest, we know that Star Wars The Last Jedi is getting up real quick, and it's going to get that spot of the highest grossing feature film of the year. It will happen no matter what. So, just to be safe, I'm saying that Despicable Me 3 is the number four biggest movie of the year, in terms of how much money that it made, at least. But that's not really the reason why it's at number five. The reason why is actually because of the records that it actually broke. And it's not specifically just on Despicable Me 3, it's regarding the entire Despicable Me franchise. Where right over here, because of Despicable Me 3, the Despicable Me franchise has officially become the highest grossing animated franchise of all time, beating out Ice Age 2? Beating out the Ice Age franchise, now has gathered, as I'm recording this, a worldwide total of $3.7 billion. And that's just the combining total of the three Despicable Me movies and also Minions. And speaking of Minions, this is actually the biggest record that it actually broke, where Despicable Me has become the first ever animated franchise in history to have two movies getting more than $1 billion at the box office. So it's not just Despicable Me 3, but it is also Minions, where, as I am recording this, Minions is the second highest grossing animated feature of all time, gathering a total of $1.16 billion at the box office, which really is a huge deal. Now, the reason why that I put this at number five, it was a bit of a tough choice to see what would be at number five in the first place, but the reason why I went with this one is actually because the fact that it broke these records, it really is such a huge deal. And if you may remember in my list of last year, the biggest animation news of 2016, I put at number one all the box office records that it has broken. And with Despicable Me 3, it's pretty much continuing that legacy with what happened. And I think the biggest reason why I would actually put this at number five is actually the fact that with Despicable Me 3 and what the Despicable Me franchise it did, it actually broke a box office record before Disney would ever catch up to it. And that's a huge deal because you gotta keep in mind, with many of the animation box office records, they're usually held by Disney, where Disney would be the one that would have the most animated features that would cross $1 billion at the box office. I mean, literally, it's just Minions and Despicable Me 3 that did so. Everything else, it's all Disney movies, with Toy Story 3, Frozen, Zootopia, and Finding Dory. And yeah, especially the fact that, you know, like, we know that Disney, they're not necessarily the ones that would immediately jump into making franchises in terms of their animation properties. They are doing a little bit more, and we will definitely see that in the future with upcoming feature films such as Incredibles 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet, and Frozen 2. But it's not every day that they would do so. And yet, here's Despicable Me 3, and here's the Despicable Me franchise pretty much trying to beat Disney in its own game. And this is exactly why I do feel that Illumination Entertainment, at least financially, they're the only ones that can legitimately compete with Disney and Pixar. While we see the other animation studios like DreamWorks, Blue Sky, and Sony, like they're trying to do their own little battle, Illumination is the one that really did stood out among the crowd, and quite literally, these are the guys that are giving Disney a run for their money, and that's honestly kind of a big deal, showing that Disney legitimately does have some competition. Where in the 2000s decade, we would see there's a big battle between Pixar versus DreamWorks Animation. But nowadays, it's Disney and Pixar versus Illumination Entertainment, because these guys know extremely well how to play the animation game. They know how to bring in audiences, and they know how to market their movies. And I mean, sure, they would get criticism for the abundance of their marketing, where nowadays in our society, it feels like we cannot even turn a corner without looking at a Minion. But that really shows the massive appeal that they have gotten, not just in the Americas, not just in North America, but all around the world. They know how to play the game well. And there are plenty of other countries that definitely love enjoying seeing their films. Like, let me just go back to Despicable Me 3, for example. Now, as you may know, in terms of the domestic box office, it didn't necessarily do as well as Minions or Despicable Me 2. But in the foreign box office, that's where they got a lot of their money. In fact, 3/4 of the money that they've made worldwide, it's from the foreign box office. And there are plenty of other countries that really, I guess you could say, they have a bit of Minion fever, where in the UK, they actually, it actually got really successful. In Japan, it's actually really successful as well. And even in some parts of Europe, including France and in Germany. And there are some countries as well, including Mexico and Brazil, where they love the Minions. But the biggest one of them all, hands down, is China. China adores the Minions, which is pretty much ironic considering that the first Despicable Me film was not actually released in China. But here we are with Despicable Me 3, where that film actually made a total in that country of $158 million at the box office. I mean, for God's sakes, if it did that in the domestic box office, that movie would still be considered a giant hit, but here it is, like, being a huge deal in China. But yeah, this honestly not only shows that animation in general is a real money-making business, but how Illumination Entertainment is a serious competitor in the animated features business. And they really are ones that they should be kept an eye on regarding how they would promote their films and how much of a success they would end up being. I mean, the debate about how good these movies are individually, that could be another discussion for later. But in terms of how much money they're making, yeah, they're pretty much the best among any of them. So that's pretty much my number 5. Or like, at least, they are the best, like, in the veins where Disney and Pixar do have a bit of competition. That's all I'm saying. So, that's pretty much why I put my number 5 right over here with Despicable Money, with the massive success of Despicable Me 3, and how it reflects upon the success of the Despicable Me franchise. Okay, so coming in at number 4 on our list, I want to go ahead and ask you guys something. Do you guys enjoy Rick and Morty? Are you fans of the series? Because that definitely was a big thing in 2017, seeing Rick and Morty Season 3. In fact, among the TV shows that have been released in 2017, there's a lot of them that was a big deal, including the finale of Samurai Jack and DuckTales. But Rick and Morty was also another huge one that got massive amounts of popularity, and of course, a lot of memes that spread it out with Rick and Morty. So it really was quite a phenomenon this year. And even Season 3 in itself is just fantastic in general. But I just want to ask you guys, Do you enjoy Rick and Morty? And if you do, how much? And at that point, can I ask you, do you guys like Rick and Morty so much that you would be willing to go completely berserk, completely insane at a McDonald's because you did not get the specific dipping sauce that you wanted? I know that sounds weird, but that's basically why I'm putting this at my number 4 on my list, which is the Rick and Morty Szechuan sauce disaster. Now, like I said before, Rick and Morty spawned a lot of different memes this year, and a few of the popular ones would include, of course, Pickle Rick, and then there's also Szechuan sauce, where there's this one episode, and it's kind of a gag, where Rick is completely obsessed over something called the Szechuan sauce, which was released back in the late 90s at McDonald's, which is meant to be just a little dipping sauce for Chicken McNuggets. And it was meant to go and promote the 1998 Disney animated feature Mulan. That was the whole point of it. And they decided to go ahead and make a little gag out of it where Rick is just crazy over the little Szechuan sauce. And apparently, that gag really went viral to the point where people themselves became a little bit obsessed over Szechuan sauce. And it has gone down to the point that even on eBay, people would be bidding literally thousands of dollars in order to get their hands on a little packet of Szechuan sauce. So what happened from there is that McDonald's decided to take a look at this entire trend of Szechuan sauce because they noticed that their name and their brand is actually trending. So they decided to have the crazy little idea of temporarily bringing back the Szechuan sauce. So what McDonald's decided to announce was that for one day only, you can go ahead and go to a specific local McDonald's, only in the Americas, by the way, where you can actually order some Chicken McNuggets and you can go ahead and get some Szechuan sauce. So a lot of people really got excited when they heard about the news. But when that time came, which is around the beginning of October, oh boy, man, this is where the disaster part would come in. And this is disastrous for both McDonald's and for the Rick and Morty fan base. Now, it was a disaster for McDonald's because they seriously underestimated the supply of how much that people really wanted the Szechuan sauce. Apparently, word spread it around that apparently in each McDonald's, they would only have a total of around 20 to 60 packets of Szechuan sauce. Not like liters, not like in a big jar or anything like that. Just your average little packets that they would normally give out at a McDonald's. And on top of that, this is not officially branded with Adult Swim or with Rick and Morty. Like, there is no connection whatsoever. And you would see that they would also feature some promotional art that is completely unassociated with Rick and Morty in general. Like, it's something that looks like Rick and Morty, but it's totally not Rick and Morty. It's basically kind of a knockoff kind of thing. Like, they're saying that they're well aware that they're doing it because of Rick and Morty, but due to legal issues and they don't really want to spend much money on it, they don't want to really acknowledge that it is Rick and Morty, so they kind of made their little knockoff brand right over there. But then you have the fan base and how they've reacted. Now, I just want to start things off to say that this does not reflect on the entire Rick and Morty fan base. Not all Rick and Morty fans are like this. And I've had stories from personal friends of mine where they would go to a local McDonald's and they would say that, oh, we don't have any. And they would politely go and move on with their lives. So it's just a little thing that happened. But there are a significant few that, my God, they legit just went crazy. And there's even some video evidence where people literally went completely crazy. Like, there's this one video that I remember that there's this guy who would just run around acting nuts in front of a counter at McDonald's, just basically shouting out Rick and Morty quotes like, Wubba Lubba Dub Dub, I'm Pickle Rick, I'm Pickle Rick, show me what you got, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So they would literally go ahead and just do that, and people got furious, like, when they heard that they've waited hours in line. And yes, lineups can go absolutely crazy. They could go all around the block just to get a freaking little packet of Szechuan sauce. And when they heard the news that, oh no, we don't got our, we don't have the Szechuan sauce, they got furious. Like, people would go on social media, they would go on, like, Facebook and Twitter, and they would completely express their anger towards McDonald's and their horrible experience that they had, that they waited in line for hours for nothing. And there are some people, they would protest. They would legitimately protest in front of the McDonald's that they did not get their Szechuan sauce packets. In some cases, they have gone so serious that some would even call in the police, and they would have, like, helicopters flying in to make sure that the situation that's going on at the at that specific McDonald's would be all under control. And so, with that said, the major consequence that occurred was that McDonald's pretty much lost a bit of their reputation because of how they handled this little meme and how it went completely crazy, and how also they really underestimated the demand that people would desperately wanted. And at the end of the day, this also was catastrophic to the image of the Rick and Morty fan base, because this really did prove that there are some people among the fan base. Well, how can I put this? Well, there was a bit of a story going on where some people would say that, oh, Rick and Morty is a show only for smart people. Yeah, well, that apparently that thing right over there, this little controversy kind of busted that myth, per se. So the reason why I put this at number 4 on the list is mainly because this is a great example that this is pretty much showing us that this is a meme that went way too far. Like, it really does show how people would just take a joke and they would really take it really seriously. I mean, one thing that I've learned as a YouTuber, a comedian, and an entertainer, one thing I've totally learned is that there's no such thing as it's just a joke. Like, people cannot really say that anymore, because there are plenty of those out there that would actually take that joke seriously, for better or for worse. And this is one example where someone decided to take the example of, like, the little Szechuan sauce joke that's going on, like, in an episode of Rick and Morty, and they would take it so far to the point that they would, ironically enough, become Rick in a sense, where now they're just obsessing over something that is so stupidly small. Like, you really gotta think about this. People were acting nuts. They were acting furiously. And they have gone mad with power, all because they could not get a specific dipping sauce for Chicken McNuggets at a McDonald's. Like, really think about that. That's really what this is all about. And it really does show how a meme can seriously go too far. This may not specifically be related to animation in itself, but this is the power of how society pretty much functions nowadays, where something as popular like an animated series as Rick and Morty can have the ability to make people go nuts because they can misinterpret the meaning of the joke or something like that. Because keep in mind, the purpose of the whole Szechuan sauce joke, apparently behind the scenes, it was just a fun little jab that the crew had on Justin Roiland, where he was a little bit obsessed himself with the Szechuan sauce. So they decided to incorporate that little obsession that Justin has and put it onto the series as a little gag, because it's funny to see Rick obsessing over something that's stupidly small as the Szechuan sauce. So that's the reason why it's on number 4 on the list, because it's basically a meme that's gone way too far that came from a popular animated series. So hopefully we've all learned a lesson from this one. Okay, so coming in at number 3 on our list, we're going to be talking about celebrity deaths. And I think we can agree that in terms of 2017, it's not as heartbreakingly tragic as in 2016. Because during that year, my God, a lot of people have been completely devastated by the amount of celebrity deaths that happened, and also who passed away. With people such as David Bowie, Carrie Fisher, Prince, Gene Wilder, and so much more. Like, it really was a tragic moment in a sense. But then in 2017, of course there have been a lot of celebrity deaths, but we do feel more at peace than before. And there are a significant few that are noteworthy. Of course, there is Don Rickles, and there's also Peter Salas, the voice of Wallace from the Wallace and Gromit franchise. But then there is also this one. And honestly, this is probably the most devastating death, more so than most other deaths that we have gotten in recent years. So may I give you guys the number 3 on the list, which is Remembering June Foray, where in the middle of 2017, June Foray has passed away at the age of 99, which is a little over a month away from her 100th birthday. And for those of you who don't know who June Foray is, she is one of, if not the most beloved, or actually no, I'm not even going to say one of. I can legitimately say that she is the most beloved voice actress of all time, with a career that has spanned for more than 70 years. And I mean, even at her old age, even when she's at her 90s, she would still be hard at work voicing numerous of characters. And just to name only a few of the ones that she has provided a voice, of course, I might as well start things off at Warner Brothers, where her most well-known role is actually playing Granny and Witch Hazel. And those are roles that she has actually played for more than 60 years. I mean, maybe there are a couple of instances where they would get a new voice actress, but for the most part, it has always been her. From 1995 onward, it has always been June Foray. Rather it be like the classic Looney Tunes cartoons that you would hear in the late 50s, or if it's even the movies such as Space Jam or Looney Tunes Back in Action, when it's Granny, it's always been the same voice actress, which is June Foray. Of course, there is also the Jay Ward specials, or the Jay Ward shows, where she would provide the voice of Rocky the Squirrel and Natasha Fatal in the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. And on top of that, she would also play Nell Fenwick in Dudley Do-Right. And on top of that, she would also work at Disney, where there have been a lot of roles that she would actually play, spanning from different generations, rather it be from the Walt Disney age or even at the Disney Renaissance, where she would be the voice of Lucifer the Cat in Walt Disney's Cinderella, or she would be the voice of Squaw from Peter Pan, which, by the way, she was also one of the models of one of the mermaids. And on top of that, like fast forwarding years later, where she would actually be the voice of Grandmother Fa in Disney's Mulan. And she even did some voices for some Disney TV shows. Her most well-known role, of course, has to be Magica Dispel from DuckTales. And she would also play the voice of Grammy Gummy in Gummy Bears. And then right afterwards, of course, you do have a lot of popular TV shows, especially the ones made by Hanna-Barbera, including Yogi Bear, The Flintstones, Scooby-Doo, The Jetsons. The list goes on. And On top of that, she would also play many different roles as well. Other noteworthy roles that she would play would also include, there's Cindy Lou Who in Chuck Jones' How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And apparently, her first voice acting role is actually Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, where she actually did the voice during, or at least she only did the voice once in apparently the cartoon called The Egg Cracker Suite. And this was long after Walt Disney lost the rights and it belonged to Universal. So she was legitimately credited as Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And the list goes on. Like, I'm honestly just scratching the surface of the amount of roles that she actually played. And also on top of that, she even played, she was in The Smurfs, where she actually played the role of Jokey Smurf. And even quite recently, she actually did a voiceover role where she actually got an Emmy Award. It was recently in The Garfield Show, where she played the voice of Miss Cauldron. That's actually an award where she won an Emmy for. And the list pretty much goes on with June Foray. But I would also keep in mind, it's not just voice acting that makes June Foray so memorable. There are also other aspects about her that makes her life so admirable, just so beautiful in a sense, where she's not just a voice actress, but she is also known to be animation's greatest cheerleader. Because the thing is that she was actually credited as one of the founders of Asifa Hollywood, which is, so far, one of the largest organizations that specializes in preserving the history of animation. And on top of that, she is also credited to be the founder of the Annie Awards, which is the biggest award show dedicated to animation. And on top of that, when it comes to the Oscars at the Academy Awards, she fought extremely hard not only to keep the category of Best Animated Short, but to also have the creation of Best Animated Feature. She actually played a big part in order for that to happen. So she really was credited as animation's best friend. And looking back at her entire life, this is the reason why she made it at number 3 on this list, where now we can pretty much look back at everything that she has done. And throughout her entire life, just nonstop, she would fight hard in order to make animation as grand and as great as it is right now. And it's just amazing looking at her career and everything that she has done in order for people to just enjoy this medium in general. And let me just say that I don't think there is any voice actor in this world that I can think of that would not say that June Foray is actually one of their biggest inspirations or one of their most favorite voice actors. And I am dead serious when I say that everybody who is listening to this right now, they would have at least one role that they would remember that actually did come from June Foray. Rather it be as Granny from Looney Tunes, or as Magica Dispel from DuckTales, or as Cindy Lou Who from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and many more. She really has made a major impact in everyone's lives. And She just really is someone who's just doing what she loves. And it really is quite beautiful, honestly. This is just amazing seeing the amount of work that she has done. And it's honestly really admirable. And yeah, I honestly, for the amount of fun that she has given us, all I could say is just thank you so much, June Foray, for giving us a lifetime and numerous of generations of amazing characters for you to play with, and also for the huge amount of effort to really have animation be taken as seriously as it is right now. So for all that, I just want to say for your entire life, June Foray, at least I want to say thank you so much. Okay, so coming in at number 2 on the list, we have for you guys one of, if not the biggest business deal of the decade. In fact, it's actually quite shocking to see that this would actually be in number 2 and not in number 1, because this would even dwarf the purchases or the achievements that this company has done previously, at least in this decade alone. This would dwarf their purchases of Pixar, of the Muppets, of Lucasfilm, and even of Marvel. Yes, coming in at number 2 on the list, we actually have Disney buys Fox. The Walt Disney Company decided to purchase the grand majority of 21st Century Fox for a grand total of $52.4 billion. The only things that the Walt Disney Company did not purchase from Fox is Fox Business Network, Fox Sports, and Fox News, in which Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox, will go and take those assets and form a brand new company with the huge amount of money that he has gotten right now. And on top of that, now he actually does own, I believe, a 25% stake on Disney, I believe. Yes, so that's basically the big thing, is that the Murdoch family owns a 25% stake of Disney in general. So, yeah, Rupert Murdoch is actually gaining a lot from this. But with Disney, my God, now this means that they actually would own so much of Fox's assets. They own so many things. In fact, I don't think I can even list them all in this entire podcast episode, because that would actually probably take an hour or two to list them all. But just to scratch the surface, they do own a lot of their channels. Now Disney actually does own the majority of Hulu, and also regarding they also have the broadcaster Sky. And on top of that, they would also own a lot of their movies and their TV shows, including the major franchises that Fox would have and the big movies, including Titanic, Avatar, and Die Hard, and so much more. Now, in the animation front, they actually do own a lot of stuff as well, where we would see that they would now own a lot of the animated features that Fox would distribute in the past, which would include films such as Anastasia, Thumbelina, The Book of Life. How coincidental, by the way, with that one, considering how Coco was released, and everybody loves to make those comparisons. And also, they would own the entirety of Blue Sky Studios, which, as I'm recording this right now, since this purchase was actually quite recent, it actually occurred just a few weeks before I'm doing this recording right now, that so far, Blue Sky Studios is a little bit worried about their future. They don't know what's going to be happening, but in this case, it'll just have to be a wait and see. But also, on top of that, probably the biggest things that Disney would own in terms of animation is regarding the animated series that would be released on Fox. So now, Disney would actually own shows such as Bob's Burgers, the Seth MacFarlane Collection, including American Dad and Family Guy, and they would own The Simpsons. That alone is actually a really huge deal. And of course, they would also own other stuff that Disney technically does own right now, but now they could add it into their collection. So now Disney actually has 100% of the rights of Star Wars, so a lot of people are probably speculating right now that maybe this would be the perfect opportunity for Disney to actually go and release the theatrical version of the original trilogy, but we'll just wait and see. And also, Disney also owns a lot more Marvel properties in terms of their movie rights, which would even include stuff like Fantastic Four, Deadpool, and the entirety of X-Men. So how are they going to integrate that onto the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Well, again, we'll just have to wait and see. So, yeah, as you could probably imagine, This is at the number 2 spot, and one of the biggest animation news stories, or even one of the biggest entertainment news stories, is the fact that Disney owns a giant piece. Like, Disney basically bought one of their competitors and pretty much meshing Fox onto Disney. That is an entire big deal in itself. And like I said before, it would pretty much dwarf every other purchases that they've done in the past. More, and like, it's like if you take all the purchases that they've done of Pixar, of Muppets, of what else did they buy? Of Lucasfilm and of Marvel, and you multiply that several times, and then you would reach into this part. And it's not just a huge deal for Disney that now their company has grown so much larger than before. And which, by the way, that also adds another aspect, that one of the big things that did change here is also the fact that Disney CEO Bob Iger did extend his contract to 2021 so that he can keep an eye that this merger of Fox and Disney can go smoothly. So not only is this a big deal for Disney, but this is also a huge deal for Rupert Murdoch, so that now he doesn't have to go and keep an eye on all the other businesses. He could just set his focus onto Fox News and Fox Sports and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to worry about the entertainment industry. He can just focus on the news. And with more than $50 billion, he's at the point where literally he could just do anything. And the guy is like 86 years old, so he is set for life, for the rest of his life, for the rest of his kids' life even. So he's pretty much all set and doesn't have to worry about any single thing that would happen to either Fox News or to the Murdoch family. And honestly, this is like so big to the point that it's hard to really know what's going to happen next. Where maybe we will see some huge changes and maybe some big business life-changing changes that will happen in the future, but we don't know. But also on top of that, we don't know if this is legitimately going to happen in the first place. Not everything is official. There could be some government officials that could step in and actually not make this happen, where Fox and Disney will still be their own separate entities as if nothing can happen. Who knows what could happen, honestly. And I know I might be repeating myself, but that's kind of the big thing with this, is that, yes, this is a huge deal. And the implications here, well, honestly, like, it's hard to say what the future can look like if Disney and Fox would combine together. Who knows what could be in the future? Who knows what we're going to see from Disney now that they have Fox in their hands? Who knows what stuff can survive and what stuff can ultimately shut down? It's a big mystery, honestly, but we'll, honestly, this is just something that we'll have to wait and see if this is fully going to go forward or if this is not going to happen in the first place. But yeah, if it does, then it's a life-changing deal for society in itself. And so finally, we have made it to number one. And if you guys have paid attention, and if you are thinking about all the different news that happened in 2017, then you might already know what could be at number one. And with this right over here, not only did this change the course of the animation industry, not only did this change the course of the entertainment industry, this is changing the entire world as we know it. And hopefully in the long run, it will be for the better. And on top of that, this actually did get the biggest reactions from this year. Like, whenever people would see this animation news, I remember the people would just get a first look at it and they would feel absolutely shocked about it. So, what is my number one? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you. The number one biggest animation news of 2017 is hashtag MeToo. Yes, the hashtag MeToo movement really was a big deal, and it really did change the course of society as we know it. Now, just to give you guys a little bit of a context, this all began when an article was released that several women decided to break out of their silence and accuse Harvey Weinstein of sexual harassment. And what ended up happening really shocked the world, where not only did it destroy the entire career of Harvey Weinstein, and as I'm recording this, he's pretty much going to be charged all around the world, like a lot of police investigations are going on in places like New York, Los Angeles, and in London, but at this point, it broke the silence of all women who have been victims to sexual harassment or sexual misconduct or even sexual assault. And this has been going on all around the world, even if it's just small people in local businesses, or if it's pretty much big, like what's going on in the entertainment industry, it's been happening everywhere. It's even happening in journalism, like in the media, with people like Charlie Reid and Matt Lauer. And it's also happening in politics that really did affect people like Al Franken, Roy Moore, and even Donald Trump. And let me just say, if it's not the 20 and counting women that have accused Donald Trump of sexual harassment and sexual assault, like, if that's not going to be the thing that will take down Donald Trump's presidency, then it most certainly is going to be the Russia investigation. Either way, coming very soon, Trump and the GOP are going down. And honestly, I can't wait for that to actually happen. All right, but anyways, let's continue. But going back into the entertainment industry, it's not just Harvey Weinstein that got affected. Of course, there was also Kevin Spacey that got affected. And even as I'm recording this, it's still going on. We are still finding more and more people that have been accused of sexual harassment and sexual assault and all that kind of stuff, including people like TJ Miller and writer Max Landis. But in the animation field, there are three specific people that have been affected, and it's related to animation, rather it be the stuff that they've worked on or the consequences are animation related. So let me just go ahead and go into the first one, which is the Loud House creator, Chris Savino. Now, apparently what happened was that there are a dozen women that have accused Chris Savino of sexual harassment throughout his entire career in animation, where he would apparently be the kind of guy that would be sending those lewd texts, or even making those lewd comments like, "Hey babe, nice tits," or whatever, stuff like that. Or even the kind of guy that would even send pictures of dicks to women that they really don't want to see. And it would even go worse than that, where he has been accused of groping, and on top of that, he would also make a lot of sexual advances to women. And there are several cases, in fact, that newcomers would be contacted by Chris Savino, where he says that he will bring them into the animation industry in exchange for sex. And probably one of the worst things that he has actually done is actually blacklisting a lot of women after he would break up with them. He just would be so furious about his ex that he wants to make sure her life is entirely ruined by blacklisting them from the animation industry. And the consequence of that is that Nickelodeon stepped in and legitimately fired Chris Savino. And The Loud House will still be going on without Chris. And on top of that, season 3 would still be continuing in 2018. So that's the first person that got accused in the animation world. Now, the second one is not necessarily someone in animation per se, but the consequences are really animation related. And that is regarding comedian Louis C.K. Now, at one point, Louis C.K. was considered one of the biggest and funniest comedians around. But apparently, some women have actually stepped in that in the comedy world, he is actually known to be quite a creeper, where he would invite women to his dressing room, and then wouldn't you know it, ta-da, he's naked, look at the penis. And worst case scenario, he would even masturbate in front of them. And what happened afterwards was that Louis C.K. actually stepped in and he actually confessed that all those stories that women were telling about him is actually true. And all the companies did not waste time whatsoever to cancel off all his other projects. Where there are different companies such as FX and HBO, they would completely separate themselves from Louis C.K. ASAP. Illumination Entertainment had to step in and fire Louis C.K. from being the voice of Max for the sequel, The Secret Life of Pets 2, since he did the voice of the main character in the first film. There was also Disney, who decided to redub his cameo appearance in Gravity Falls, where, what's the character's name again? Which is the horrifying one-armed monstrosity. That character is now voiced by Alex Hirsch himself, the creator of Gravity Falls. And on top of that, probably the biggest consequence is actually TBS suspending production of his upcoming animated series, The Cops, which he created with Al Brooks. And that one is probably the most tragic because there were a lot of animators that legitimately lost their jobs because of the consequences of a perverted man like Louis C.K. So, yeah, overall, with Louis C.K., it's pretty much the one that got the biggest consequences, where really, his career just got immediately stopped and put to an end. Like, literally, something just came right in front of him, and then it just went... You know what I mean by that? And finally, the last person, at least of 2017, in animation that have been accused of sexual harassment and stuff like that, is actually the biggest one of them all. Like, and probably the most shocking of them all, if you are an animation person. And that actually is Walt, the chief creative officer of Walt Disney Animation Studios, Pixar Animation Studios, and Walt Disney Imagineering, John Lasseter. Yes, the legendary Toy Story director himself. Apparently at Pixar, he has been known to be acting a little bit funny towards women. And not in a good way. Where he is known for his hugs. And yeah, I mean, technically, the things that he has been accused, they're not necessarily as bad as Chris Savino or as Louis C.K. Like, he doesn't show any dicks, or he doesn't blackmail anybody, or he doesn't, he's not offering jobs in exchange for sex or anything. But some of the stuff that he has done is a little bit creepy, where he would give out long, uncomfortable hugs, and he would grab women by the thighs. And on top of that, he would also be willing to kiss women on the mouth, which is a little bit weird right over there. And is there anything that I'm missing? There's that. And, sometimes he would get a little bit drunk. Like, especially, well, not always drunk, he's not an alcoholic, but in parties and stuff like that, he would easily be the one that would have one too many drinks. And Disney would always hire some security, not to protect John Lasseter, but to protect others from John Lasseter if he's feeling a little bit lustful, per se. So, one day, John Lasseter had to be faced with, he has to face his demons, and of course it's not an easy thing. And the consequence that came to that is that John Lasseter had to take a 6-month sabbatical, hopefully taking that time to go and rehabilitate himself and to go and, try to fix his errors in a sense so that he can go and become a better person. So those are just the examples in animation in itself. Now, the big question remains, though. Why is it that I put the hashtag MeToo movement at number one over a news like Disney buying Fox? Well, let me tell you. The reason why Disney buying Fox is at number two is mainly because there's nothing that is fully official as of yet. There is still a chance that it may not happen in the first place. You never know if the government could actually step in and say, okay, no, this breaks our code of ethics and we're not going to let that happen. No, this deal will not happen, period. And even if it does happen, the consequences will not occur until years later. Like, we're not going to see any effects happening until maybe in 2019 at the earliest, or maybe like in 2020 or in 2021. But with the hashtag MeToo movement, the changes are happening right now. The instance that Harvey Weinstein got entirely obliterated, that's when everything pretty much changed. And hopefully, the changes will be for the better, where the women took inspiration over the news and they felt inspired to stand up and try to make peace with something that they've held on maybe for years, or maybe even for decades, where they talked out about a terrible experience that they had over sexual misconduct or sexual harassment or worst case scenario with rape even. So that was the big thing about this, is that the changes are happening now and that women are speaking out about it. And it's pretty much going to be changing how society would pretty much work in the first place, where women are now becoming a lot more brave, where women are no longer scared to speak out, where they no longer feel vulnerable. Or actually, it's the women and also some men as well. I'm not excluding the men in this, but it's both women and men that are finally speaking out about how they've been mistreated in the past, and now hopefully they can make peace with it. But there is one more big thing that I want to say about this, and that is actually regarding our part, about what we can do about all this sexual harassment controversies and stuff like that. Now, one mistake that I have been seeing that people have been making is that they're not putting the focus on the right people. Normally, what we're seeing is that people are so dead set on looking at people like Chris Savino or Kevin Spacey or John Lasseter or Harvey Weinstein, and we focus on them to see what's going to happen to them now that they have been exposed doing this and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're just focusing on them. And honestly, that's not our job. That's not what we should do. Like, what happened with Chris Savino, like, what would be his fate? That's in the hands of Nickelodeon. What would happen with John Lasseter? That would be in the hands of Disney. We don't really have a say on what's going to happen to those people. But what we can do is focus on the women, on the victims, on the men as well. Like, just focusing on the victims as well and help them. It's not really that great of an idea, and you're not really going to accomplish much if you're just going to be acting angry and all you want to do is just see death to all those people that have caused sexual misconduct or sexual harassment and all that kind of stuff. But we, in our society, if we could take part in making the livelihood of the victims, both the women and the men, to make them better, then we can improve on this. We could actually help to go and make this a better place, to make the workforce a safer environment, in order to make sure that these things don't happen, and that if people do those things, that they won't get away with it. That we should also stand out. Like, for me, I'm not someone who has been sexually misconducted or sexually harassed or anything like that, but I will not be afraid to actually go and call out on someone if they actually would do something like that. And you should as well. We should all take a part to actually raise our voices as much as the victims would as well. That we should help them go and be in a safer and more comfortable environment to know that they can be treated respectfully for who they are. To look at them for the talents that they deliver. Not just walking TNA, but just for their capabilities, for how they would contribute to their society. So if we put our attention to help them, then we can make this a better place, and how hashtag MeToo can be probably one of the best things to happen in our modern society for the better, so that we can just reject and forget about the sexual harassers, and that we can help the victims. And that's exactly why I would put this as the number one animation news of 2017. And that is all that I've got for this week. So I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can also go ahead and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for MetaBooknet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at Animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, hit that little like button in our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Tune in next year for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until 2018, see you later, dudes.